Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 18. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke in chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 this morning, and as you turn there, you recall perhaps that it wasn't long ago that we were in Luke chapter 17, and as we were in Luke chapter 17, some things were happening that were very significant. There was a need for the disciples to get their minds around how delicate the relationships we have with one another are. These are delicate relationships, and he starts chapter 17 talking about forgiving one another. Remember that? He says seven times in a day, he says, if they say, I'm sorry, you know, you just say, you know, forgiven, done, you know, good of you to say. By the way, when somebody does come to you and say they're sorry, if you're still struggling a little bit and you don't know what to say, because, you know, we are like that, we're still working it through. Sometimes it's a good thing, is a little thing my wife and I have utilized in our own lives. That's nice of you to say. You know, just give them a little credit and let it be done. And you can kind of work it through. You know, you're working it through when you're saying that. And they understand that if they understand the offense. But here's the thing. When he told them they had to forgive, and then they had to forgive seven times in a day, the question was poised to them, Lord, increase our faith. Because it takes a lot of faith to forgive. You know, if you're going to let it go, as far as forgiveness is concerned, it's going to be a struggle, perhaps in the long haul, because you have to trust that God can somehow work in even the difficulties that you've had to contend with. And what he does is he tells them that there were three things that would help increase their faith. To recap, the three things are, first of all, you need to have a submissive spirit, you have to have a sincere spirit, and you have to have a steadfast spirit. And all of those things were mentioned in parable forms or in didactic form where he's teaching what's to come, because the Pharisees chimed in and they says, where's this kingdom of God thing? And he says, it cometh not with observation. The sincerity thing, recall the 10 lepers, only one came back. The submissive thing was, there was a servant in the field and he comes in and he's not to sit down. He's supposed to feed the master and then he can eat. He's supposed to be submissive. And the thing is that you and I are called upon to bear the heat of the day. And in order to get our minds around that, we have to realize that we are destined for greatness. And it's a little easier to work really hard if you know that there's going to be a huge payoff. You know, you can go long hours. You can work harder. You can sweat and toil and work and put in the time and the effort if you know the payoff is going to be huge. Can I tell you? In the end, we get it all. The Bible says, blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. And we get it all. Okay, we get that. We get that. This is our. We're going to inherit the earth. And that's the concept that you and I need to get our minds around so that we can become submissive and service-oriented. That we can be more sincere and praise God for the good. Like what Mark was saying this morning about only a sinner saved by grace. You can revel in the fact that, as Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Because you begin to realize that it was that knowledge that God imparted to you about your unworthiness that gave you the humility to be able to find your way to the throne room of God. The Bible says that if you will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will lift you up. And sometimes we're so proud, we won't bend the knee. You know, we're supposed to cast all our cares upon him, knowing he cares for us. And you and I have that kind of relationship with God. Jesus bore the heat of the day in his lifetime. He sets us an example to follow in his steps, we're told in 1 Peter. So you understand, not only have you been granted to believe in Christ, but also what? To suffer, sometimes for his name's sake. Now that's important to get your mind around, because expectations are everything. Remember getting married, if you're a married person. There was a time when you thought, man, this could be awesome. And it was awesome. Until about 3 or 4 weeks in, and then suddenly somebody said something, did something, or looked sideways or whatever, and you were like, man, you know, what did I sign up for? Where's the door? You know, maybe you had a blow up, and then you finally realize, wait a minute, it's going to take a little bit more of an investment than I had perceived, but praise God, when you worked it through, you were closer than you were before. Isn't that true? When you work through a problem, you get closer. And that's the same thing with forgiveness. We're all in this toiling thing together. We're all porcupines. We poke one another. Sometimes we need to be more forgiving. Sometimes we need to be forgiven. Right? It's the way it works. So when we come to chapter 18, look at what we're doing. We're making a run toward the crucifixion. You know, Palm Sunday, Easter, right around the corner. We're moving toward that. And I thought it good that we continue in the way that it's laid out in Luke's gospel. So when you see Luke's gospel in chapter 18, I want you to look down to the beginning of our passage that we'll be considering. Verse 31 says, "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully treated, and spitted upon, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." So you see our connection. He's saying that's where we're going, and we're seeing it in retrospect. We're looking over our shoulder in the rear view, the resurrection. Easter Sunday, Passover comes, crucifixion, and then resurrection. And so what we see now is verse 34. And they, who was it? Verse 31, he called unto him the 12. It says in verse 34, they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. Wow. I thought he was pretty clear, don't you? You know, but what is going on here? Well, that's why it's good to have a good context, because somebody said a text without a context is a pretext. OK, I'm not here to give you a pretext. I want to teach you the Bible, what it says. And the context is huge here. These disciples, in the context of time, they have these books out there that are harmonizing the scriptures. So you got Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and they're all laid by each other, and where they can co-align, you can kind of read them together. So we kind of know what was actually happening here. If you pulled out a harmony of the Gospels, you'd see. One of the things that was happening was they were getting a little bit hungry for this kingdom thing he's been preaching about for 3 years. Hey, we're going to kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. So Jesus goes through a lot of the context by virtue of this rich man comes to him and he goes away sorrowful. You got a lot of little things happening. But what happens is that these disciples start arguing about who's going to be greatest. And two of them actually get their mom to go in and talk for them. Hey, I have a question for you. Can you grant my sons that one would be able to sit on the right hand and one on the left in your kingdom? And he says, you don't know what you're asking. But then the disciples heard about it. So where's this washing one another's feet come in? Well, you know, I got to forgive Judas. Man, that's then he's too God. Man, you can't have all this strife going on in the body of the immediate 12. I mean, these guys are going to have to pick up the load when Jesus goes, right? They're going to have to deal with things. And so the context is pretty huge. So he says, listen, guys, pay attention. You know, he says, we're going to Jerusalem and everything that was written in the prophets concerning me is going to happen. I am going to be scourged, spit upon. I'm going to be taken and put to death. And I'm going to rise again on the third day. They have a real hard time getting their minds around that. Understandably, because number one, you can't have your mind on two things at the same time. This is why the Bible says, let him who stole steal no more, but let him work rather with his hands, that he may be able to make money to give to those who are less fortunate. And what does they say? Nature abhors a vacuum, right? You got to do the good to displace the evil. Lie no more one to another, but speak the truth. You know, these kind of things are really important. But if we don't take it personally, we can get ourselves into a little bit of a crucible, a vortex, what I would call bondage. Okay? Now, when we look at these guys not being able to understand what he said, that's huge, because I know what that's like. Because I've been there. Okay? We're reading a book, but we're looking in a mirror. And we've all been there where we just didn't get it. We just couldn't understand. And what I want to suggest to you is that when he talks to these disciples, he's told them about forgiving. They've said increase our faith. He's taught them about that. They're still scratching their head. They say, oh, by the way, who's going to be greatest? They just let that go. You know, sometimes we hear a word. It's perfect. It's just what we needed. But then there's something else that's pressing. You know, we want to go after this butterfly and that butterfly. And it slips right off the plate. And that's a problem. But when we find him talking to these disciples at this point, he's just come off of a pretty important conversation. In verse 28, Peter steps up. He says, you know, that rich man went away, but we left all. What do we get? See how they're all about themselves? You see, that's the struggle, isn't it? It's my stuff. What do I get? I want this. And he says, listen, I tell you that no man's left anything, but he's going to get vastly more in the kingdom. But that's not really the point right now, Peter. The point really right now is I'm going to Jerusalem. So you see, they're all about who's greatest. You know, we've done what we were supposed to do. We left our... You can think about it. These guys were businessmen. They were fishermen. That was a business. They not only were fishermen that had a business, but they traveled a lot with the fish that they caught. They prepared the fish that they caught. They sold the fish that they caught. These guys had ships. They had nets. These people left it all and followed him. Recall those things when Jesus called them. He says, we've left all. And you can almost see his chest pushing out a little bit. You see, we are all about ourselves. It's all about me and mine and I. And I was mindful of what I heard Adrian Rogers say once. He says, it really, at its center, that which sets itself against God is our pride. And right in the center of pride is that unbending perpendicular I. It's all about me. And that really made an impression upon my heart because I thought I needed to hear that. And so he's telling them, listen, you guys need to focus here. It's getting real now. He's not sweating, as it were, great drops of blood yet, but he will in very short order. He's about ready to bear the sins of the entire world. He's coming, as it were, under the shadow of the cross. He knows what the prophets wrote. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Every one of those words would pang, 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 you know, with him, because he was God in flesh. So he knew what this entailed. Can you imagine in a day where crucifixions were kind of routine? The Savior, the sinless Son of Man, he's here, he's walking, he's healing. He walks by the roadsides. He sees them. He sees them. I don't know about you, but that'd make me quiver. That'd be like being on death row, right? I mean, you'd hear the guy getting ready. You'd hear the guy crying in the middle of the night. You'd hear the fear. You'd see the sweat on the brow. You'd hear the minister come or whatever if they allowed it. No one's giving him a pardon. He's not going to get out of this. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. This is going to happen. The Bible says as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so open not his mouth. And he didn't. When pressed, a few answers here and there, but for the most part it was silence. They spit in his face and so forth. He says that. He says he's going to be spit on and all of that. So you see why these guys might not have been able to hear very good, right? Who's greatest? You know, we've left all, what do we get? And they're all thinking about the kingdom. Even after his resurrection, they ask him in Acts chapter 1, will you restore the kingdom at this time? He said, it is not for you to know the times. We're all about what we get. What we need to remember is chapter 17, submissiveness, sincerity. What we did get was forgiveness. Praise God. What we did get was life from deadness and trespasses and sins, alienation from God. We get fellowship. We get not only fellowship with God, we get relationship with God, which is even more powerful because fellowship can be broken. Relationship cannot. We are his children. To as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. Even to those that believe on his name, I believe on his name. And when I come to him, I come as a child of God, seeking mercy, strength, and help. And he is always, always, always eager to hear from me. Whether I've been way out in a far country, he runs to me, especially in those times, to give me that hug and protect me from the onslaught of society, as it was in the prodigal story. The father ran. So I say to you, he actually tells them what's going to happen. And in verse 34, it tells us that they understood none of these things. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.